to Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praise.
And a very good morning to you. We're in the final segment of today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows. We're looking forward to your phone call. We are talking about speaking the truth in love. If you're having an issue with that right now in your marriage, you're looking for some advice. Marcos is here for you. Reach out to us at 855-454-5905.
All right. Well, we do want to give you some great news and an update on the Be Beautiful Expo 2015. With us today, we have Olivia Hope, Olivia Pope's cousin. There you go. So what can you tell us about this Be Beautiful Expo?
It is going to be fantastic. It will be amazing. Lots of vendors, lots of workshops, lots of information will be given. And it is to support the beautiful you inside and outside.
Thank you.
Spiritual.
Thank you.
Yes, of course. Spiritual and physical. So that Be Beautiful thing, we are really taking hold of that because we want you to be your most beautiful self. Beyond makeup, beyond hair, beyond clothes, but the internal beautiful you, and that's what you'll find
the
out.
Vows, right?
Beyond the vows.
So bring your men, whether they're your husbands or looking to be your husband's husband to be. Hey, let's check them out. Let's get to know. Let's give us, you know, an opportunity to give you some advice and
let's
say,
check
hey,
and see if his see if his spirit is beautiful.
Yep, absolutely. So this will be March the 14th at the Pennsylvania Convention Center. Of course, you want more information, just visit our website, praisephilly.com.
Yes.
Marriage Beyond the Vows will be in the house. I would love to meet you all in person. We have much more coming up about it, but we definitely want to see you there in the house at the Pennsylvania Convention Center, March the 14th. You can also visit our Facebook page. And if you've not done this already, this is your opportunity to go to Facebook.com, search for Beyond the Vows, Marriage Beyond the Vows on Facebook, and get in on the conversation. Hit the like button, you know, share with us what you think. Our topic of today is speaking the truth in love.
Right.
You know, are you having a hard time with this? You know, have you spoken up and your spouse doesn't take it well? Or are you having a hard time speaking the truth in love? Or do you feel like your spouse or your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your fiance, if they're not speaking the truth in love and it's hurting instead of helping, we want to deal with the situation and we're talking about it this morning. So go ahead and give us a call.
855-454-5905.
All right. Well, let's go ahead, continue on here with our phone calls. Yep. I believe on line one we have
Angela is calling in from Philadelphia. Angela, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How
good
are
morning.
You?
Good morning. Hi, we're doing great. Thank you so much. Welcome to Marriage Beyond the Vows. What is your comment or question for us today?
Well, I see what you're talking about this morning, and I talk down to my husband a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We've been married for 6 years. We've been together for 10.
Okay.
In the 6 years that we were in, well, the 4 years before we got married, and getting to know him. We didn't live together, you know. We both worked on the same job.
Okay.
But I had a different perspective of who he was. And then we got married, and right before we got married, something revealed.
Okay.
That was devastating. But I guess I was too tied up in getting married and planning my wedding, and I paid for everything. But, he is addicted to heroin.
Okay.
And
so you found this out during your engagement period?
Right. I found it out 8 months before we got married. I did not know anything really about heroin. Okay, so 8 months before we got married, this thing manifests. I do believe that he is a functional addict. He knows how to do a little bit and be okay, and it's not so telltale, but when things become stressful and everything, he does too much. So his father passed away. I also had caught him cheating on me, around the same time all this stuff happened. And then, you know, he started looking real crazy to me, and I didn't know what was going on with him. And he just started doing crazy things.
Mm-hmm.
So finally, I can't really even go back and remember how I actually found out the first time. But anyway,
okay.
It manifests. So we talked about it, and I told him, because I am a recovering addict myself,
okay,
of crack. I'm 30 years clean.
Amen.
But, you know, I told him that this is not nothing that I want in my life. Like, I don't want no drug addiction in my life. I went through my own thing. If this is going to be a reoccurring thing for you that you're going through, then I don't want this. So, you know, he assured me that it's not, you know.
Angela, you're an addict, a recovering addict. But you're and congratulations, by the way, for the 30 years being clean. You know, keep it going. But you know, I mean, he's going to tell you whatever. I mean, you don't even remember how you found out. But the fact that God allowed you to find out, why did you, I mean, really, I understand you're saying you were tied up in the wedding stuff, but what's the root? Like, why did you marry him knowing this man was using heroin? And you being a recovering addict, hearing this, like, that should have been the biggest alarm ever. And you should have been like, whoa, hold on, let's put the brakes on this. But you went ahead and married him anyway. Why?
A lot of reasons for myself. Low self-esteem for myself. Scared to be alone. I got with him in a relationship with him from out of a relationship that I was in that we were very much in love, but sensitivity or whatever broke us up, whatever was going through with him. And it was a year before I started dealing with him. He was my friend the whole year. He listened to all everything. Like, he had his whole game plan. Like, and now when I sit and I think about everything and I look at my whole life, I'm like, this man just trapped me and he got me, and he got me at the weakest point in my life, what I was going through. And at the point when I married him, it was like, okay, I was trying to get, you just don't understand how much I was trying to break up with him before I even knew that he was using heroin. I just was always trying to break up with him. Always said it doesn't work. It does not fit. We just don't work. We just don't work. But no, he was very persistent, and I guess I was very weak. And, yeah, I paid for my own wedding. I paid for everything.
Okay. Well, Angela, I'm going to have to interject, okay? And I'm going to be as loving as possible, and I'm going to tell you the truth. From what I'm hearing from you, you married your husband because you were fearful, you were lustful, and you were insecure.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you were thinking about, you weren't thinking straight. And I want to encourage you, Angela. Again, you've done so much progress. You've made a lot of progress in your own life coming back from a crack addiction. I mean, you've beat the odds, and you know God is with you, and he will give you the strength. You know, in the very beginning, when Adam and Eve sinned, you know, God confronted them. And I think that at some point, you know, it was a bad situation. They messed up. But I appreciate Adam at that point when he was finally confronted by God. They just said, you know what? The serpent tempted us and we ate. Like, we blew it. That's it. Like, there was nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. They came to the reality. And, you know, as a recovering addict, you realize that you can blame everyone and everything for the reason you use drugs. But the real reason is you did it because you chose to do it. Like, no one forced you. You made a decision. You chose. And so could the circumstances have made it harder? Of course. You know, can your environment impact you? Of course. But ultimately, you made that decision, right? When you wanted to get high, you went and looked and bought and did whatever you needed to do to get that fix. In your marriage right now, you know your husband is who he is. You, at some point, need to take responsibility, not just because it was your weakest point, but you decided to marry him. No one made you. And I think once you take ownership of the decision you made, you can live with what you've done. But right now, I haven't heard that from you.
Because it's been reoccurred many times. Mm-hmm. Like, I was paying all the bills myself and everything, but now he almost died.
Wow.
He almost died in my bedroom. I was at work, and my son found him, and he almost died. So, you know, now he's saying, oh, I'm done. I'm not touching no more, but I don't believe him. Mm-hmm. And I want him to go away, but he don't want to go away. He don't want the job enough. I want to divorce him. I don't want to be in this no more. And I'm
you know what you need? You need
I've talked to you before.
Okay.
I've called you and talked to you before about, but not this part. It was
okay.
About this other thing. Of how I married him, but I'm so unhappy and been so unhappy for so long.
But do you love your husband?
No.
You don't. You don't. Because here's
the truth. I don't even like him. He irks me. When he does, he irks me. He's just wrong.
Yeah. And you know what I suggest, Angela? It sounds like he needs to get himself together. But if you can't really be that support for him, you need to figure out where he's going to get the support from, because he's going to need it. And I don't know. You're right. Can you believe him? Is it really? I don't know. But I think sometimes people do have to hit bottom, and almost dying could be one of those times. And maybe right. sincerely he is at that point, but he's going to need a lot of encouragement, a lot of support, and love in the right ways, right? You know, love could be tough, but it needs yes. to be right. And so what he really needs, I believe, is some kind of intervention. Like, listen, I'm about to leave. I'm about to walk out of this marriage unless you seriously change here, because you guys got to rebuild the love. You got to rebuild the trust. You got to rebuild so much that has been damaged. Yeah. I mean, you don't have it. The trust is gone. It's gone. You don't have trust. And you can't trust someone that is using. I mean, you just can't. So I want to encourage you, Angela. You're going to have to really check your heart, but take responsibility for you. This is not on your husband. You knew he was an addict when you married him. You made that choice. Yeah. And so now you have to make the choice. Are you going to stand by his side, or are you going to move on? It's your choice to make.
Yeah, but if I move on, then I have to be alone for the rest of my life.
Yeah, you probably do. And that's something you're going to have to live with. I mean, if he's not being unfaithful, then you know what the scriptures say. Yeah, so if you can't, or the Bible says, or you can reconcile with him. Maybe he needs some time. And look, walking away from the relationship, an intervention is not a bad thing. To say, listen, you're either going to check yourself in, or I'm checking myself out of the house. I'm leaving. We can't make this happen.
Oh, my God, Marcus, I told him that.
And what happened?
He was supposed to be checking himself in by the first year. He wanted to finish out the work week.
Okay.
I'm not saying enough. I'm just sitting back waiting. He ain't doing nothing. He just, like, everything is...
So, but today's the 16th, right? 17th? Today's 17th.
17th.
Yes.
So he said this by the first.
Yes.
More than 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks have gone by. Like, at some point, you got to honor your end of the deal. You know that. Talk is very cheap. And when you're dealing with an addict, there's a life and death situation. If you said it and you gave him a time, then hey, you hold him to that. It's like, listen, you
what
said
I'm
by the
to
first.
Put him out the house?
Yeah.
I mean, like, where am I?
Put him out. Put him out. If
How?
That's the case, if you have to put him out, or one of you has to go.
So I'm supposed to leave my own home?
I'm not telling you. You got to figure it out. You talk to him. You're both adults and say, listen, it was either you check yourself in or this is not going to work.
Yeah, I don't have no babies at home. My kids are grown.
Yeah, you're two grown-ups. You guys could figure this out. You know, it blows my mind, Angela, when people say, I don't know, have anywhere to go. It's like, listen, when we want something, you were addicted 30 years ago. When you wanted to get high, you found a way.
Right.
It didn't matter whether you had money or not. How did you get it? You found a way. So
right.
when you want a solution to this, you will find a way.
Right.
And I don't think it's for someone else to figure out. And I think sometimes as Christians, and I'm sorry to interject here, Angela, but I'm kind of switching gears a minute. I want to talk to all the Christians when we want to enable people, like, oh, poor them. Listen, these adults made these decisions. They decided to make their bed. Now they got to sleep in it. They got to make their own decision. We won't help them by saying, oh, we can't do anything for you. Angela, you're a grown woman. Your husband's a grown man. You've made adult decisions. You got to make that decision. Are you going to stay or you're not? You got to figure this out. And you can. And I believe once you do, you will be so much better because of it.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
I know. You know, you're a strong woman, Angela. You there's no way you come back from an addiction to crack cocaine, stay clean for 30 years, and you're going to tell me you can't figure this one out.
I know. I'm trying. I just don't know what to do. I don't know. I don't want to be alone, but I married him knowing what was lying underneath, not really knowing the whole full potential, but because of the kind of person that he is, like, he picked himself up, Marcus, 8 months, he was looking good, like,
yeah.
All right, well, he got this. Like, he know how to clean himself up, he know how to do
and
all
so
that.
And so this time it has to
staying
stick.
Clean.
I know, it has to stick. So, but you know, what did it take for you to stay clean all these years?
Jesus.
And so he needs
Jesus.
So you know
Jesus.
What, you're going to have to pray for your husband to find Jesus. That's the missing component.
You know what, Marcus? It's all come down to God is telling me something.
Yeah.
God wants me to stand up right and take on everything for my family. I know.
Yeah.
I have to be the head. I got to pray for everybody. So everything got to lean on me. And I know what God's telling me is just to take to get into that lane.
Yeah.
And I'm trying.
You're going to do
give me a Bible verse so that I can read something. I need something.
What can I help you with? What are you looking for?
Well, I need to get lined up with Jesus. I need I need to be saved. I need to save my family. Yeah. And I have to be the strong prayer one to do it. This is nobody else. My mother prayed for us. That's why I'm clean and standing here today. Mm-hmm. My mother prayed for me. You know what I'm saying? She prayed for me, and God gave me deliverance, and he took the taste of it out of my mouth that I never, ever, ever pick up again. I need that for my husband.
Okay.
I'm not in love with my husband. I love him. I don't hate him. I like him. We are friends. Our friendship is bigger than everything. That's what's holding us together right now and not making me scratch his eyeballs out because he is my friend.
Yeah. You have that foundation. It sounds like he's missing that foundation. And you got to be able to do this together.
But I got to get him on it. We need to pray together. I tell him these things, but it's like talking, and it goes in one ear and it goes out the other. Like, okay, so I guess I have to be the one to shut everything down. Let's get on our knees right now. I mean, I really have to take on, and I know I do. I mean, I know these things already. I don't need nobody to tell them. I just need to get myself together to do it. I work 7 days a week. I have two jobs. I'm full.
I got you.
I'm like on overload.
You are, and you got to be careful that this is not a trap from the devil as well, to get you.
Oh yeah, he's busy, but I know I pull on my father. I pray. I have a prayer mother. I pray.
You know what and I don't know if in your recovery if you endure the scripture, but you need to study out Romans 7. That, you know, it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me, and that struggle that you have.
Yes.
And then, you know, I love how Paul puts that down and towards the end of that verse where he says, you know, thanks be to God for Jesus. Like,
yes.
What a wreck would I be? And when you are depending on God, you're relying on God, I mean, you see miracles in your life. You need a miracle from God right now.
Yes.
And so it's all things. Nothing is impossible for him who believes. So you're going to have to really fight for this. But it's going to be according to your faith. You know God can do this. He's shown you.
Yes.
You know. You know, some people, they've never experienced it. You've experienced the miracle and the power of God in your life.
Yes.
This is nothing. God can do this. But he's trying to figure out, okay, are you going to trust him? So, Angela, we thank you so much for calling. We really are praying for you.
Thank you.
Keep us posted. I can't wait till you call back and share some good news in a few weeks and months.
I surely will.
Amen. Amen.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Have a blessed one. All right, we're going to continue on here. We're going to go, I believe, to line two. Line two, where we have Reverend Abraham calling in from Philadelphia. Good morning, Reverend Abraham. You're live on the air. Hello, Reverend Abraham.
Sir, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. We hear you now. Yes.
Okay, thank you. Yes, sir. I was speaking on a young lady was talking to her on the phone, and I was drug addicted also.
Okay.
And it's a thing where it's so a lot of times we get too emotional even in our prayer, our love for our spouse or our love for our loved ones get it's in front of what we want done by God. And if you get in the front of God or let your emotional ways of thinking get in the way of God's move, God can't move.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm
saying? God could always move, but he won't move when we're not depending on him, right?
When you're going to surrender something to God, you got to surrender the whole thing to him. You can't be dipping and dabbing and try to straighten things out when God wants to deliver you and answer your prayer.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
So let me hear this, Reverend Abraham. You said you were addicted. You're a recovering addict for how many years?
I'm not recovering, Eric. I'm delivered.
Yeah, but they're, you're recovering because let me tell you, you can never go back.
No.
So you always got to understand that is part of your flesh. So in the spirit, yeah, you're delivered, but the spirit is strong. But the flesh is weak. So you always got to make sure.
My spirit stays strong because I stay in prayer.
Amen. Amen. So how many years have you been clean?
I guess about 27 years,
awesome.
Something like that.
Awesome. Well, congratulations. And so did this, just like our previous caller, Angela, did your addiction, how did that impact your relationship? Were you married or are you married? I mean, how did that impact your relationship?
Yeah, well, I was married and the Lord blessed me with a clear mind. See, you have to have a clear mind and a way of thinking to really look at your situation that you're in mm-hmm. and the situation somebody else in.
Sure.
Now, am I going to stay in this marriage and destroy her life and my life along with this addiction? Or whether you man up and say, well, look, I can't bring her down because she's a good woman and she haven't done anything wrong okay. to me. She's been in my corner day in, day out. And I have to really respect her way of life. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, absolutely.
So we have to really, really come to grips with our own problems and look at our own self in the mirror.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
Because we always tend, I mean, addicts always use excuses.
Yes, you know what I mean? Yes. I mean, you master excuses, right?
Yeah, you know what I mean? And lies and things of that nature. And we get good at it. And, you know, we make people believe us. You know what I mean? Oh, mm-hmm. I ain't going to do it no more. I ain't going to touch another drug. Yep. Oh, baby, this and that. Oh, baby, that and the other. And next thing you know, next week, you know, you're back up at drug dealer's house.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, Reverend Abraham, we appreciate this conversation. I want to say thank you so much for chiming in. And, again, congratulations on being clean. And I think that's an inspiration for so many.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Reverend Abraham.
That's my mission, brother.
All right, my brother. Thank you so much. Continue with the mission. All right, Reverend Abraham. Take care. All right, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows here on Praise, your inspiration station. We're talking about speaking the truth in love, and we've had a bunch of great calls and talking about their relationship. Most recently, you know, just the issues that sometimes our own addictions or our spouse's addictions to drugs and substance abuse really impacts and affects the relationship. And so we definitely want to talk about that. And I want to have some conversation about really interventions and how you help an addict, because I think sometimes we think that we can change a person, but we end up enabling the person. And we really need to go ahead and talk about these things. Go ahead and give us a call, 855-454-5905, 855-454-5905. And on a side note, I do want to invite all of you, if you've not done this already, to visit our Facebook page. Go to Facebook.com and search for Marriage Beyond the Vows and click the like button. Get in on the conversation. We definitely want to hear from you. We've posted some great things there in terms of our segment. We literally have just a few minutes left. So if you want, we encourage you to go ahead and give us a call. Also, I want to mention what we have happening with Praise 103.9 and really our sister stations here, Boom 107.9, and also our old school 100.3. That's really the opportunity to check out our Beautiful Expo 2015, which is Saturday, March the 14th at the Pennsylvania Convention Center. For more information, you can go to praisephilly.com. Marriage Beyond the Vows will be in the house. And it's going to be amazing. It's going to be a phenomenal, phenomenal time. You also want to make sure you get these tickets early. You actually save money by getting early. I know how many of us are. We are last minute folks, you know, but if you know you're coming, you mark that in your calendar. Just go ahead and buy your tickets early. You save some money. You'll have an amazing time. I mean, it's a deal, an amazing deal. So much that you're going to get out of that Inspiration Expo. So it's called Be Beautiful Expo 2015. Go to praisephilly.com for more information. I want to just for a quick moment comment on our Facebook page here. I know some of you post, you share certain things. One of the things that I posted last week, I believe, and I was just saying that I needed some help. We're looking for exemplary married couples in the African-American community. Who comes to mind? And so some of you went ahead and chimed in, and I really appreciate that. I think the very first comment was the president and the first lady and so on and so forth. Some of you mentioned your own bishops, your own pastors, T.D. Jakes. You know, there's so many that have been mentioned. But we are definitely looking out. We want to be able to highlight those, and we want to connect with those that are celebrities that really are on the spotlight but are an example, just an example of a great marriage and a great relationship, you know, been through the storms, proven themselves. You know, I don't want to hear a couple that just got married and, hey, they're doing great. That's easy. We're talking about a couple that's seasoned, that's been through the storms, that's on the spotlight but is righteous, an example of what it means to be a great married couple. All right, we're going to continue on here really quickly with our phone calls. We have a few minutes left. We're going to go to Sharon from Philly calling in on line one. Sharon, welcome. You're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows, and welcome to our program.
Hi, how are you?
Pretty good. What is your comment or question for us today, Prashara?
Well, I was just listening to the young lady that was on the line and, you know, struggling with her husband and, you know, the addiction. And it just resonated with me because I just came out of that situation and my heart just, you know, melted for her because, you know, it becomes difficult when you're dealing with someone who uses and, you know, you love them and you want to be with them, but, you know, the lies and the deceit, they just start, you know, just continue to tear you down and tear the marriage down. And, you know, the advice that you gave her was that, you know, either he had to make the choice or she had to make the choice.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's hard because you want them to make the choice because right. you don't want to be the, you know, the bad guy or, you know, whatever makes you feel better if they go ahead and walk away and take responsibility for their addiction and, you know, the part that they played in the relationship. And my husband, you know, I gave him the same ultimatum that he had to, you know, check himself into rehab or, you know, I was out the door. And I had to wind up leaving.
Yeah.
You know, it was difficult. You know what I mean? I didn't want to. I felt like she did, you know, being by myself, not wanting to be alone.
Sure.
You know, sure. But, you know, at the end of the day, I couldn't continue to be, my heart was breaking more just being in a relationship.
Absolutely. And it messes
you know?
With you.
Yeah.
Sharon, I want to just mention a couple of things. A few minutes ago, I said that. Some things I wanted to talk about where you sometimes think you're helping, but when you're dealing with someone who's abusing a substance, an addicted person, you gotta, the rules don't apply the same. You know, you're not
right.
talking about someone in, you know, in their right mind. You know, you're really talking about that, like the man that was possessed by demons and was in the grave. I mean, he was chained up. It wasn't the same. Jesus had to drive out the demon before he can be normal. And
right.
And the challenge a lot of times with addicts, and I believe the previous caller mentioned this as well, her name is Angela, she mentioned, is that sometimes he could clean up really well. So we want to believe the lie.
Yeah.
And so my very first point is don't believe the lie.
Right.
You just can't.
I was caught up in the cycle for 9 years.
Yeah. And you believe the lie. And,
yeah.
and the other caller, the reverend that just called a few minutes ago, he was saying, you know, the addict is going to lie. They're going to tell you they're clean, but the next week they're right up there in the dealer's home. So we know this pattern. So number one, don't believe the lie. You know,
right.
listen to the action, not the words. The words
right.
don't count. When someone is an addict, that they're lying, I don't care what they tell you, how much they cry, how much they beg.
Right.
You don't believe that. You just believe the action, and the
right.
actions make it clear. And then the second thing real quick is you got to understand that that person, if they're very serious about getting help,
mm-hmm.
they're willing to do whatever it takes. You know, I was hard on Angela because she is a recovering addict. But like I said, an addict would do anything to get their fix. I mean,
right.
they would steal, they would rob, they would, you know, they'll beg to get their fix. And so we can't feel bad for someone who feels like, oh, there's nothing I can do. No, you figured it out. When you
right.
wanted to get high, you found a way. I mean,
right.
I have some friends of mine, great men who've recovered, they said it doesn't matter if there was a snowstorm and there was no way to get around. They found a way to get around.
Right.
Like there's no obstacle for an
right.
addict. And so I think that when that person starts making excuses, like in Angela's case, he was like,
mm-hmm.
no, but the job, I got to finish this. It's like they're not serious.
Right.
They're not. And they have to be willing to be helped. In Romans 7, I love that passage because it talks about being powerless.
Mm-hmm.
That at the end of the day, the addict has to be honest and say, listen, I've tried on my own. I can't
right.
do this by myself.
Right.
And when they admit, that's the first rule, isn't it? That
right.
when you admit,
yeah.
that's the very
yeah.
first step. So I think what you've learned, Sharon, and it's sad, is that you had to be the one to make the decision because your husband wasn't going to make it.
Right.
And exactly. so what happened? Tell us the rest of the story.
Well, I mean, we're currently separated,
okay.
And it's been almost a year, and within that year, I've kind of, you know, just kind of watched him. You know what I mean? I've given him the opportunity to, you know, get himself together to show some actions that, you know, he's moving forward.
How's he doing? Is he
you
clean?
You know what I mean? He's taking control over his addiction.
Is
and
he clean?
He
has or
hasn't? You know, I'm at the place now where, you know, divorce or not to divorce. And, you know.
You're saying he hasn't. He hasn't changed.
He has not changed.
Oh, wow.
Has not.
He hasn't
and
hit
like
bottom.
You said, it's action. I can't, you know, he tells me stuff, but I'm like, I don't
yeah.
see anything.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
You and you know the man well enough.
You don't
well
have
enough.
Anybody to speak to your accountability, so
sure.
I don't have anything to go on.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much, Sharon. We
We appreciate this. And, you know, we're going to be praying. We'll be praying for your situation and many others who are in your boat, because I think that the addict needs to hit bottom.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, God is so gracious. I know so many stories that people should be dead, but they're still alive, meaning God is still giving them an opportunity to get their life together. So I thank you, Sharon, and everyone else. So thank you so much. I really, really do appreciate you calling in. I want to actually, before we close out the show, say a prayer with you right now and pray for all those others who are hurting as well. All right. God in heaven, thank you so much for this time, God. We thank you for just the courage that so many folks have, God, to fight on. And Father, even when the battle just seems impossible, we know that nothing is impossible for those who believe, for those who trust in you. Father, but sometimes people make their own choices, and that's the hardest thing. When people we love are just not willing to change or to admit that they're powerless. And so I do pray for Sharon and her situation with her husband. Father, thank you for her courage to take a stand and do the right thing, Father. I pray for women like Angela who are at the same boat but have not yet embraced the courage and the trust in you to realize that there is always a way out, God. I do pray for just a healing, for just the power that people need to be able to overcome their addictions, and also for those who are victims of those addicts, God. I pray that they would have the courage to not enable, but to speak the truth in love and to do what's right. We love you, God. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. We really do appreciate you, and we hope to see you at our Be Beautiful Expo coming up on March the 14th.
Okay.
All right. God bless.
God bless.
All right. Thank you. All right. We got a few minutes left. Literally, we're going to go ahead and go to our last call of the day. I believe it's Deacon James calling in on line 4. Good morning, Deacon. You're live on the air. All right. I just want to make sure we get this call in. Hello. Good morning, Deacon James. Are you there? Hello, line 4,
yes.
Deacon James. Hey, welcome. We literally have just 2 minutes before we wrap up our show. Thank you so much. You're called into Marriage Beyond the Vows. What can we do for you?
First of all, I want to thank you for all the things that you've done greatly in the kingdom of God. You know, I'm hearing great works about you and as far as church members, marriages, and things of that nature.
Amen.
Give God thanks for you.
Amen. Well, thank you, man. Thank you.
Moreover, empowerment begins with surrender.
Mm.
Surrender. Surrender begins in Corinthians. It says in 10, not talking about temptations, but the second one, you know, we know there's no temptation taken, but it's a time that man, but God is faithful, not allow you to be tempted above that which you're able, may have way of escape
always
that you may be bear. The 10 is just talking about strongholds.
Yeah.
Second Corinthians 10. And I think that's the point, you know, strongholds. The weapons of our warfare are you know, mighty.
It's bigger than us, right? I love that, the surrender part. What encouraged you to share that with us? And have you been through something and finally had to get to a point of surrender? And
Oh, yes. In marriage, not drugs, but other things, other issues. And you say that pointedly real well. You have to surrender. Come on. You have to man up or woman up and say, hey, I have something inside of me that's not proper, not correct. It doesn't go incoherent with the Bible.
But you know why we don't surrender? Because our pride gets in the way, and it's so much easier to believe the lie. Like for an addict, I mean, I have friends that they've had great success, and then I know people, I mean, I love them, I try to help them, but they're not done. They haven't hit bottom. And the number one, I would say, reason, or like the common denominator, is the people who have totally surrendered and realized they can't do it on their own. They need God and they need relationships. And the other ones that just feel like, even if it's just a hint of it, that they think they got this on their own. Like, hey, I don't need this. I got this. And it's like, that's so true, right? That pride comes before fall. So I think it's the pride, Deacon James. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but I do want to say thank you so much for sharing that 2 Corinthians chapter 10 with us. And thank you for calling and God bless.
God bless you, sir.
All right. Well, this is the end of our show for this week. Of course, we'll be back next week. We do encourage you, before you go, to go ahead and visit us on praisephilly.com. Find out more about our show here, Marriage Beyond the Vows, and upcoming events, including the Be Beautiful Expo coming up on March the 14th at the Pennsylvania Convention Center. Much love comes. We want to do for Larry. Larry Fowler is our producer. I don't say the Larry part. I just say Larry Fowler. He's the man. He does it all. When you call in, he's the one that picks up the phone. And he just does so many things. So, Larry, thank you so much. Everyone, thank you so much for listening. And for all those who called in, God bless. We'll be back next week.
back to Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're Praise.
And a very good morning to you. We're in the second half of today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows here on Praise Your Inspiration Station. So we want you to give us a call. The number is 855-454-5905. We're talking about speaking the truth in love. Is there a truth that needs to be told in your relationship and you need to say it in love, but you're not quite sure how to approach it? Or have you had truth spoken to you and it was definitely not a loving place that it came from, and you're looking for some advice on how to deal with it? Please give us a call, 855-454-5905. Let's visit Reverend Mac, calling in on line four. Reverend Mac, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. What a topic, what a topic. My gracious. In love, love makes, when you speak the truth in love, you shame the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to tell the truth, because how can two walk together except they agree in love? Because love is stronger than death. You know that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So Reverend Mac, it sounds like, you know,
people ain't unified and ain't walking together. One saying one thing, another saying one thing. They have to be really together.
Yes, absolutely. Now, it sounds like you might know a thing or two about speaking the truth in love. What do you think so far with the different callers we've had and how some couples just can't seem to even really have love in their relationship, that they can have just simple conversations?
Because, Marcus, number one, they first have to have God. God is love. And I think the devil done got in there some kind of way, and God ain't even in it. Because if God was in it, God going to give you the know-how and the will to humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, that you might listen to each person, because there's two of them is involved. When your husband involved and your wife involved, there's two sides to every story, like you were telling the young lady. You need to talk to the man. Now, you heard her story, but what about his story?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it makes a difference when you when you have that understanding that it ain't just me, it's both of us involved, you know.
Absolutely.
And that truth, that love being in the truth, makes a difference in anybody's relationship, whether they married or single. Always tell the truth, because the truth gonna win.
Amen. Well, Reverend Mac, thank you, my brother. We really appreciate you always when you pick up the phone and call us, and you always have encouraging things to say.
And
so
we appreciate you guys. You know that, Mark. We appreciate y'all so much. In March, we're hoping to be to that section in March.
Yes.
Last time my wife didn't make it, but she's hoping to be there with me.
March the 14th. Mark it down in your calendar right now and visit us on
Praise Fully. We done marked it down already. When we heard you announced it, we put it
Amen.
On our calendar. God
there you
willing,
go.
We will
and don't
be
forget,
there.
Visit us at praisephilly.com. Reverend Mac, thank you so much. You have a blessed day.
All right, you too, man.
All right, bye-bye. Let's go to Joyce calling in from Delaware. Joyce, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How are you both?
Good morning, Joyce. We're doing great. Yes. We heard that you have a comment, actually, regarding our a few callers ago. Belinda called
yes,
about her situation. What is your comment for us?
I do. I sincerely hope that she listens to the advice that you gave her, because it's the very best advice. I probably could tell her story because I lived it. And
wow.
I think whether she saves the marriage or not is immaterial to her mm-hmm. trying to save herself, first of all. Even with 28 years, if she thinks about it, she knew that was her home when she married him.
Yeah.
And he knew that he was moving into her home when he married her.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes as women, you know, we really try to make people into what we want them to be or what we think they are. So I think over the years this has compounded. And even in terms of her saying, I don't have anywhere else to go, sure you do. I just know that story so well. And whenever I hear anybody, and I'm talking from personal experience, continue to say, I, mm-hmm. I knew that I had to really stop and look at me and try to deal with me and work on me. Now, whether I saved the marriage or not was immaterial, but it was you know, I'm so happy that somebody said to me what you said to her, stop and focus on you, because you can't fix him.
Yeah.
You can't make him into what you want him to be. He was who he was when you married him. He didn't change.
Yeah.
It's just that whatever you wanted him to be didn't work out, and it might not ever work out. But I just hope that sounding from the frustration and the anger and the emotion in her voice, that she will stop and take a look at herself and see how she can make it better for herself.
Well, I think also when she is so, she's hurt, she is, I mean, there are so many emotions wrapped up there, but she's, that you're right, she's taking on that kind of that victim mentality that no matter what I do, and see, when someone's unresolved that way, it doesn't matter. Anything else is going to bring the worst in you. And it just does. And so he might, you know, let's just give an example. She used the example of wanting to go to the movies. Already she's feeling like defeated, like he's not going to want to go. And so it's like, oh, you see, he never wants to go. But the way she speaks about him, you could tell there's a lot of resentment in her heart. The respect is gone. And so I think what you said is so key, Joyce. And you have lived it yourself. What helped you to listen to that advice, to figure out, you know what? Regardless of whether my husband changes or not, I got to work on me. I mean, at what point did it click?
And when you turned it around and said to her, is there some redeeming quality about this person?
Something.
Because if you believed, not that she is knowingly telling you an untruth, but if you simply believed everything based on that conversation, then there is nothing to redeem about him.
Yeah.
And as you said, I believe there has to be something.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I agree. It's hard to think of absolutes, right? I mean, even, you know, there has to be some quality. I mean, you married this man, so there has to be something there. And I believe, you know, I love Marvin Sapp's song about, you know, he saw the best in me. And like God sees the best qualities in us. And I think that sometimes in love, we got to be able to see the good qualities. Now, that doesn't mean, and I agree with you, that the relationship is going to work, because it takes two.
Yeah.
But you can't walk around just bitter and resentful. And honestly, I mean, I'm going to talk to her some more, you know, off the air. But it sounds like there's so much baggage there. But she needs to deal with her. And until you peel those, like it's like an onion, you peel those layers and get to the root of it. It could be what you said, Joyce. It could be that she knew long ago who she was marrying, and now she's resentful because...
You know, even with selling the house and so that they could buy something together.
Well, you would think that happened yesterday.
That would be a solution for me, but it was a concession that I wasn't willing to make because we knew the situation when we got married. But
so what happened with you, Joyce? Like, at what point did it just click?
The point clicked when I knew that he would not deal with, he said he could deal with a wife that made not just a little, but far more than he did.
Okay, so he couldn't deal.
And even though I never said it, that was the key turning point for me. Mm. I never lauded that over him. I never said that to him. But somebody said to me, it was implied. If you're living in my home, you know that you're living in my home. If I never say that it's my home, you know that it's my home.
Okay.
And when he said to me, you know, we're not going to be able to make it unless you quit that job.
Wow.
So my response back to him is that you want me to give this up because you were insecure, and I wasn't willing to do that.
Wow.
And it went downhill from there, and I had to look at some things that if I could say this to women, and I'm saying this as a woman, in the initial stages of dating, courting, whatever you want to call it, if you would get rid of all that lust and sex and get to know somebody and communicate with somebody and try to come to an understanding, if this is a person that I can be with for the rest of my life, then it would be far better for us. Far, far better. And A lot of men, and as a man, you probably can answer this question better than me. A lot of times men will say, I can deal with that. I can deal with how much money you're making. But saying I can do it and living with it is two different things.
And you know what it is, Joyce? It starts like this. And you hit it right on the head. The lust gets in the way. And if my biggest advice I can give regarding this situation is you got to know thyself. Know what you can live with and can't. Because even like the example you gave, there might be some women that they're okay giving up the job, and they're okay. And there are some that even if they do it, they'll resent it for the rest of their lives because they're not built that way. And we got to know ourselves and what we can live with and what we can't. Like, I know for me, the kind of woman I needed, not just wanted, but I needed. Like, it couldn't be the extreme. Like, one of the things I believe my wife is perfect for me is my wife is independent when she needs to be. She's dependent when she needs to be as well. So,
okay.
So I love that balance. Like, I couldn't do well with a woman that's just totally independent and it doesn't need me. I need to feel needed as a husband. But I also don't want to feel like I'm so needed that she won't do anything for herself. Like, my wife is a strong woman. She's professional. But I think that makes the difference, that balance. But for me, now there are other men I know could marry a woman who's like totally submissive. And I'm talking about submissive in a passive way. And they have no ambitions of their own. I mean, I couldn't do that. I can't carry a whole load.
But you said something that was key a few minutes ago, and that was the other part of my turning point when I asked this person, because he eventually turned to somebody else, and when I asked him what was the reason, and he said to me, he said, you don't need me.
Yeah, just to feel needed.
You need me for nothing. Wow. And without even thinking, my response was, well, what do I need you for? And he said, see, that's my answer.
Yeah, and he needs to feel needed. And you know what? It sounds like he started to really understand who he was. You know, if we could always go back, hindsight is 20/20, we can look at ourselves and say, you know what? If we're honest with ourselves, this is either not going to work or we're going to need to really make some hard decisions before we get into this relationship.
Absolutely.
But you said it before, sometimes the lust gets in the way. So thank you, Joyce. We really do appreciate it. I think there's been some great conversation. Thank you for calling us.
Thank you, and I hope you talk to her further.
Absolutely.
Okay.
God bless, Joyce.
All right, take care. Hey, listen, we have to take a brief pause, but we are still welcoming your phone calls at 855-454-5905. We're talking about speaking the truth in love, and we'd love to hear from you. 855-454-5905. Stay with us. More conversation continues after this.